Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Campfire is brought to you by
the Campfire After Dark. Our live experience is officially underway. We just had a very successful show in Philadelphia, and next up is Atlanta. If you want a night of hot topics talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of Miami, Real Housewives of Orange County, but also talking about the Diddler, Tyler Perry, Tamar, and that performance most recently, we're going to talk about whatever is going on right now. Come for a night of meet and greets with me. Also, we're coming to Washington, D.C. on August 22nd, then back in New York City on September 12th. The New York City show has a special live stream option exclusively for that show. You'll be able to keep that ticket for 1 week. Get your tickets today for the Campfire After Dark, the villain era, coming to a city near you. More information will be available in the description notes.
You're listening to Campfire here on the Campfire Radio Network.
And this is why it pays to be a podcast listener, because I've said to you before, sometimes I add additional thoughts to our recaps. Sometimes I add special extended versions like what we did with the Diddy trial. Well, this particular episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County, I don't have additional thoughts in regards to the recap that we did, but I did want to talk about Real Housewives of Miami. Because after we did our recap, which I released before I went off to Philly for our live show, there was some information that I mentioned in the recap about Stephanie, the newbie in Real Housewives of Miami, and allegations that she was the other woman when she got with Masood. Well, our friends over at She's Speaking with Emily is revealing more tea that I told you was on Reddit. So she's regurgitating what she found on Reddit as well. But I like how she put it all together. So we're going to take a listen to what Emily had to share in regards to the tea. And there's more that she shares in the comment section that I want to talk about, because I don't understand, we say this all the time, why if you have such a shady past that you would come on reality television. These Bravo investigators and Reddit investigators are going to discover it.
I knew I didn't trust Stephanie, the new cast member of Real Housewives of Miami. Found this Reddit thread. Remember how Stephanie said the way she met Masood?
I met Masood at a Miami Heat game when I was 26 years old and he was 50.
She was actually Masood's ex-wife's assistant. That's how she met Masood. And then she had an affair with Masood and got her way into the company like that. Stephanie says she's been with her husband for 11 years, but he was officially divorced in 2019. Apparently, Stephanie legally changed her name to Masood's last name while he was still married.
Pause. What? Changed your last name while he's still married to someone else? The audacity. And it makes me wonder, what's her relationship with his kids? Well, according to Emily in the comment section, not good either, but we'll get to that.
Stephanie and her husband are also being sued for $10 million that they allegedly owe a Miami real estate lender. His ex-wife and two daughters do not speak to him. Shoma Group was actually funded by his ex-wife's father, according to this Reddit.
Not the reason why he has millions of dollars is because of his ex-wife and her family. Wow.
post, what it appears like is Stephanie stole his ex-wife's life. Now, she wasn't really on my radar until she went on Watch What Happens Live, and this is how she answered this question about Gertie.
I just want to know why Gertie just wants to hold grudges. Like, just let it go.
So that caught my attention.
And yeah, we did not like that either. What do you mean, just let it go? Someone just splashed you with water. Like, even the way she said it on Watch What Happens Live, just let it go. Okay.
I said, let me look into this lady. And sure enough, she's not who she appears, which I think we all could figure out, right?
So I wanted to also highlight a comment that Emily posted in the comment section, because in regards to what's been going on with Masood and his kids, Emily says, I also forgot to mention that Masood's daughters are suing him for taking $6.7 million from their trust, allegedly, and according to Reddit. Again, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. A lot of these rumors come out, and sometimes they are true, and sometimes they are not. We don't know if any of this is true, but it is interesting if he did get a divorce in 2019 and she's been with him since 11 years. I said this before when it first came out. I said, well, maybe because there are millions of dollars at stake here, that it took some time for him to get a divorce and he was still dating. I know people have different opinions on that, but sometimes with millionaires and billionaires, it takes years before they can finalize a divorce. But if he doesn't have a relationship with his kids, I feel like there's more. There's more to think about. And now I'm thinking, did he bamboozle us and make us fall in love with him? Not that we fell in love with him, but soften our hearts to him by being an animal lover. Was that all orchestrated for the cameras? We will have to wait and see. But this is exactly why I said, when we first were introduced to Stephanie, I said, I like what I saw, but I'm not going to sit here and say, I love her, she's my fave, blah, blah. No. I have trust issues. I'm going to take my time with her and see where this goes. I didn't like what she said on Watch What Happens Live about Gertie moving on. Again, it's the microaggressions of it all. Why does she need to move on when Julia splashed her with water? For me, I would never see it for Julia. Yeah, we could move on for the show, but I would never see it for Julia ever again. Me personally. But we shall see if any of this is true, because I'm sure it will come up at some particular point. Unless it comes up during the season, please understand, if Stephanie decides to return next season, that it will come up from someone on this cast. Maybe Adriana. Maybe. Because any of them are going to be desperate to have some sort of storyline. And this is the toxic world of Housewives. And I don't even blame the Housewives as much. Is the fact that Bravo as a network, this goes back to reality TV reckoning. So many people in the Bravo universe are like, y'all are terrible. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. You're grown adults. But this toxic work environment is produced and encouraged by the powers that be. I'm just saying, they hold a responsibility here. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of the housewives that are desperate to have a mojito will do what it takes to bring this on next season. If they even get a next season, because the ratings have been terrible. I also want to correct something that I said in the Real Housewives of Orange County recap. I said that they got like 700 and something thousand live viewers for their premiere episode. I stand corrected. Shout out to our friends over at TBD. They only had like 500, not only, it's not bad. 500 and something thousand live viewers. Which isn't necessarily bad, because I think a lot of you are also saying you didn't know Real Housewives of Orange County was returning last night. Yeah, they're back, and so is Big Brother. I have not watched it yet. Don't tell me anything about it. If you're a Club Kempire member, you will have the first access to my thoughts on Big Brother and the latest episode. I'm actually really excited about Big Brother, and no, I'm not talking about Love Island. I'm not watching. I did see that Sierra, who is on Love Island, released an accountability video. I have to say, I wasn't following anything, but I follow like some of the little big news stories that come out of it. And she was removed from the show because of these old comments that she had apologized before. But then she released the video taking accountability. A lot of y'all could learn a thing or two. A lot of you celebrities could learn a thing or two from Ciara's video and taking accountability for using that derogatory term. Anyway, I say all that to say, let's get into the Real Housewives of Orange County recap. Again, shout out to all of you that are podcast listeners. You get the real deal.
Now, here we go now. Mm-mm. Hey, y'all. Back from Philly.
Last night we had our live show. Oh, first of all, can you guys hear me, see me, all the good things? We're live on Twitch, Twitter, TikTok as well. We are live, of course, here on YouTube and on Facebook for our weekly recap of The Real Housewives of Orange County. The season premiere for season 19 happened last night while we were in Philly. But shout out to everyone that came to our Philly show. We had such a great time. So much conversation. Thank you again to our friend Alexander Rogers for opening up the show for us and hosting, and all of you that came out on a Thursday night and had a good old time with good food and good drinks. The next city will be our Atlanta show, which will be happening on August 5th. Then we'll be in D.C. August 22nd. D.C. folks, the venue has changed just because of overbooking, but it's just right across the street. We'll be at Pearl Street, so be sure to check that out and make sure you get your information updated for that. But that's August 22nd. We'll be in D.C. yet again for our summer show. First time ever being in D.C. for the summer. So that should be a lot of fun. Then we're going to be rounding out the summer tour here in New York City on September 12th at the Green Room 42. That show has a live stream option. So if you haven't gotten your ticket already, because some of y'all will wait till the last minute and be like, oh my gosh, it's too late because the show already happened. You can't buy the live stream ticket after the show, okay? It won't be available. Maybe I should make it available though. Stay tuned, okay? But still, no promises. If you want to make sure that you have the live stream so you can see it maybe the next day or the day of, go get your live stream option over. It's a separate link in the link tree that we provided for you guys. So shout out to everyone that's here. How would you guys rate the season premiere of The Real Housewives of Orange County? From 1 to 10. TikTok, I don't understand why people on TikTok, let me just say this. If I did not reply to your request to go live, why do you send another one? Like, leave me alone. Now that's harassment. Leave me alone. Literally, you got denied and you're requesting it again. Leave me alone, stalker. It's okay. Oh, wow. I'm seeing low ratings on TikTok. Chioma, though, on YouTube gave it a 10. Foxy gave it a 7. All right. I thought it was definitely a good premiere episode. Here's the thing. A lot of you are asking me, am I excited about this particular season starting? Am I excited about this? I'm not really excited about any of the new seasons. I'll be honest with you. And it's not because, I hate them. It's just sort of like, I'm not that excited, but after watching the season premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County, I was like, okay, I'm back. I'm back in. I enjoyed the last season. I'm back in for this season. Okay? But Alicia says, request denied. Exactly. Leave me alone. Cindy says, send the police. I'm going to send the police on one of these housewives. We're going to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County because I do see a mixed feeling on some of the housewives. Gina, though, here's the thing. Can I say something about Gina? Of course, again, this is my recap. She is so desperate to make this issue between Emily and Katie her issue. She's like, I just feel like I can't trust her. It's very much the same thing that we got from her last season with Jen. Like, girl, you're reaching for a storyline. You're reaching for an issue. You're reaching for relevance because every single season, everyone says that both you and Gina can, you and Emily can go. I like their friendship on the show. And I actually like Emily, but Gina, I feel like, girl, you don't even go here. But especially because I saw last season and what she's doing again this season, reaching for an issue with Katie, I feel responsible because I brought her into this group. Girl, the fans already know production chose you to bring her into this group. Y'all weren't really friends. Y'all not friends now. And then she admitted to lying, but I told you this last season. She admitted to lying about the real reason why Travis ended up moving out. We kept on telling you during last year's recaps that the real reason was because of the issues with Travis's ex-wife. That was the real reason. She's like, you know, the easy solution was to say that, Travis and I couldn't afford things, but So you just admitted to lying. But I got it because I kept on telling you, I was defending Gina when it comes to that. The situation with his ex-wife was very complicated. But it seems to be in a better place. This season, they moved back in with each other. I'm jumping ahead, but let me start from the beginning. Katie and Shannon, because you know Shannon defended Katie at the reunion. So they started off this season being in the best place. But if you saw at the end of the episode, now I understand why Katie ended up not going on the group trip abroad. Because she's not in a good place with any of the women, except maybe Jen. But Jen may or may have not called her a con artist. Well, go back and watch my thoughts on Katie from last season, because when we found out about that story about the, the traffic issue that she had with someone and she chased the person down and allegedly, because she then tried to clean it up at the reunion, I still didn't believe her. I still was sort of looking at Katie with the cross eye, like Amari from Real Housewives of Miami, you know, Adriana's boyfriend, I was looking at. Something about that story didn't land, and watching this premiere episode, girl, you need to learn how to lie. Katie needs to either learn how to lie or stop lying. Learn how to lie or stop lying. And look, I'm not a huge fan of Emily. I'm not a huge fan of Jean. I'm not a huge fan of any of Tamara. I'm not a huge fan of any of those women. However, girl, I'm going to call a spade a spade. You're lying.
Lies! The lie!
You're lying. Theo says, Katie doesn't do herself any favors. She should have just come to the scenes with all her receipts prepared. She doesn't have any receipts because those receipts actually will show the fact that she's lying. Okay, let me focus. I want to make sure I mention the things that I want to mention. So I will jump around a little bit and then I'll get back into order. Katie told Tamara in a separate scene that they flash back to, I have to go, because Tamara was accusing Katie of talking to bloggers. I hate the incorporation, as a blogger and many other things, as a blogger, I hate the incorporation of bloggers onto the reality show. And I don't blame the bloggers because a lot of these bloggers want this moment to bring attention to themselves or their blog. They're trying to make money off of this. I don't blame them. I blame the housewives. And I already told you multiple times, housewives have been in my DMs trying to use me to manipulate things. But y'all know you can't manipulate a Taurus. They think they're getting over on you too. Oh, they follow you. Here's the thing. They'll follow you. That's their first thing. Or they'll like a post. No, they won't follow you first. They'll like one of your posts so that they know. Then they'll follow you. Then they'll send you a DM. All the time. And then when they see one of my recaps and it doesn't work, that they're not influencing me, they unfollow you or they have rants on social media trying to discredit you. Remember that? What's a face? So I blame the housewives, and I feel like the network should reel these housewives in and they should be punished in some shape or form monetarily in regards to conspiring with bloggers. But again, I don't blame bloggers. This is their job. But you are letting them in on the show. Again, why I said on Real Housewives of Atlanta, I hate the fact. I don't even consider Messy Marcus a blogger. He became a blogger because he knew that this was going to be featured on Real Housewives of Atlanta. So he's not a real blogger. Some of us have been doing this for a long time and building our audiences. He probably got like 10 people listening. I don't consider him a blogger, but I hated the fact that Angela sat down with him with cameras. I hated that. Okay, back to Real Housewives of Orange County, but it's associated. Oh, Cindy. Okay, Cindy, y'all got it. You got it, Cindy. Yup. What's a face? Exactly, Christina. What's a face? We don't say that name anymore. Thank God it's no longer on the air. Okay, I've digressed. Back to what I was saying. Let me go back in chronological order. I completely forgot to mention what I wanted to mention, but I'll get back to it. Okay? Theo says that Messy Marcus is a stunt queen when he has bigger things to be worried about. But this is not about Real Housewives of Atlanta. Okay? So at the top of this episode, we have Katie and Shannon going to the car dealership because Katie's looking to get a new car. Shannon wants to put some air in her tires. Fine. We get an update in regards to Shannon, Alexis Bellino, John Jansen. She paid, they settled out of court for $60,000. He originally wanted was $75,000. Okay. So they settled on $60,000. So Shannon was just like, well, there you go. You can use it to pay for the wedding. I don't think they're going to get married. Do you guys think that Alexis and John Jansen are going to actually get married now? I don't think so. Weren't they supposed to get married already at this particular point? No one cares. And no one is sad to see Alexis not return this season. Fine. So she gives us an update. Shannon gives us an update on that. All right. Shannon then discusses Katie's issues with Emily. So just to rehash the issues with Katie and Emily. Katie's daughter talked about how she babysat for Emily and the boys had said terrible things about Heather. That played out last season, okay? Then that they decided to put a bet on, you know, put it to bed and not to involve the kids, okay? It comes up again during the reunion, leads to Emily and all the ladies bringing out the receipts and all the different things that the blogs have been reporting on Katie and her past and her custody and all that stuff. Despite them saying they're going to put it to bed and not involve the kids. Okay, I'm going to point that out. They decided not to bring up the kids or anything like that, but Emily still brought it up during the reunion. What I don't like is that Katie's daughter, who is an adult, she's what, 19, 20, 21, I don't even know how she, but she's grown, okay? I hated the fact that she, even the way she brought the news last season, I was like, oh, you're just like your mother. Messy. Messy. And I don't know if I 100% believe either one of them. There's something about Katie and her daughter. I was like, And then Katie trying to make it say, oh, I can't control whatever she's doing. And then Katie's daughter, was it Kaylee, went on one of the blog's podcasts to spill more beans. I was just like, okay. Whatever. Okay. Leo says, I think Kaylee's in her 20s. She's an adult. She's an adult that, the situation from last season I hated because you were literally in Emily's home taking care of her children. And then you brought news about what one of them said bad about what Heather said. And again, we don't know if it's true or not, whatever. But either way, even if it was true, you're bringing that news on camera to do what? Okay? Jess says, I think it's Kylie. At this point, I don't care. At this point, I don't care. I don't like her and I don't like her mother. I didn't like what they did last season. I thought that was gross. As soon as they started doing it, I was like, what are they doing right now? This is weird. Even her issue, Katie's issue with Heather from last season, and Heather's not the best person, but it was such a reach. That's where she went wrong from the very beginning. Like, I was ready to like, oh, I like, you know, Katie. She seemed nice. And then she was with that whole issue with Heather. It was like, girl, where are we going with this? And we've just gone downhill from there. And then more and more stuff came out about Katie. And so it's like, oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. Critical Thinker says second generation thirst for fame. Maybe. I don't. It was weird. It was definitely weird. It was definitely weird. But anyway, I digress. So Shannon brings up the issues that have been happening between Katie and Emily that have been ongoing because, as you know, Emily's ex-nanny decided to go to the blogs again. But the reason why the nanny went to the blogs was because the nanny went to Katie, and Katie basically, Katie has a very interesting relationship with the truth. I want to say that. She has a very interesting relationship with the truth. And this is exactly what Jen was saying when she says she doesn't view the people as bloggers. She views them as friends. So that's why she doesn't understand when people say don't talk to bloggers because she's not viewing them as bloggers. No, Katie wants to believe what Katie wants to believe. She knows that they're bloggers. Even when she was asked later in the episode when in that separate scene with Jen, she's like, so how do you know them? She's like, oh, mutual friends. You are.
Lies. The lie.
She's not a good liar, Katie. Like, we got to call a spade a spade. We got to call a thing, as Ayala would say. You got to call a thing a thing. In those moments, I was like, here we go. Y'all might not like Emily, Gina, Heather, Tamra. We understand. But we also got to call Katie out when Katie is lying badly. Badly. Badly and bigly. Right? Like, come on. She said, yeah, they're my friend. And Jen is starting to see it. And you know, the thing is with Jen, she surrounds herself with people with questionable pasts. The Ryan of it all. But look, Ryan seems to be all good. Ryan seems to be all good. They're still engaged. They're getting married. So Shannon talks to Katie about the issues that she's having with Emily. And as I said to you before, Emily's ex-nanny was directed by Katie to contact this blogger. Katie admits to this, but the way Katie tries to spin it, it's as if she was trying to be helpful and that she was pissed at Emily and that's why she did it. I was just like, Katie, this is, you knew what you were doing, and I get it. You were upset about what happened at the reunion, but you just perpetuated exactly what we're going to hate talking about this season. Bloggers getting intricately, that's not even a word, bloggers being implemented in this storyline when they should not be. We should be talking about it and reporting on what natural drama that you guys are having. And I get it, in real life, these things happen, but you guys are the ones orchestrating that and using these blogs as weapons. New York City Bougie says, I love Jen. I still like Jen. Here's the thing. This is what, our third season with Jen? She's been consistent. Is she not the brightest bulb? No, but she is a sweetheart. I feel like she's genuine. And even the fact that Jen is sort of like, yeah, I don't know what's going on with Katie. And I wanted to see them be united this season. I don't even think that's going to last. Because Katie's being caught in so many lies. So many lies. Keith says that Katie and Kylie are both Tauruses. First of all, I don't even think Katie's a Taurus. Did we ever look that up? What's Katie's sign? You just wanted to say that, Keith. I bet she's a Virgo, like you. Exactly. Sherson says, now hold on. Let's not call her out for being a Taurus. Y'all already know, just because it's someone's sun sign doesn't mean we have to talk about their moon and their rising. Okay? Or the fact that she's just a Karen. You know, we called her that last season for a variety of different reasons. All right. Metal Love B says, Katie low-key is serving Lifetime movie messiness. I can see that. I could definitely see that. Did we picky pee? Oh, Lord. I already told you how the Tauruses do not do us justice. Picky pee says that, oh, Katie is a Taurus. All right. We looked it up last season. Oh, Lord. Jess says, not the shade. Oh, see, she's an April Taurus. Not the same. Not the same. Come on. She almost is April 23rd. Thank you. Okay, we can move on. She's still a liar. She's still a liar. Look, you think I'm going to change just because she's a Taurus? She's still a liar. Katie is a liar. A bad liar. Okay? No More Rain says, hey, April 29th here. Sorry. All right. Let's move on. So Katie says that she was upset because they discussed her custody at the reunion. So that was part of the reason why she redirected the nanny to the bloggers. Okay. Oh, Lord. Kahara says, oh, no, don't come for the April Taurus. I had to find something, Kahara. Just let it be. Okay. Let it be. Oh, see, Taurus moves like me. Is she April? Oh, no, we don't claim April Taurus. We have to. Come on. And we already said that Tauruses on reality television don't do us justice. Kim Zolciak, the only Taurus that kind of does us justice, but not lately. The whole Diddy liking a post of it all. Candy. But for the most part, Candy does us justice on reality television. But for the most part, Tauruses on reality television do not do us justice. Hence,
Katie. Chioma says, Tauruses be lying. Not this Taurus. That is not a common Taurus trait for us to be liars. We're very grounded. We're sometimes too honest. So I don't think that is a Taurus trait. Ariana says that, oh wait, Kylie's birthday is April 23rd. So what's her mama's? Are they both at the same time? Who cares? Again, this is not, I'm standing on it. Katie is a liar. I don't care if she is a Taurus. She is a liar. Okay? Period. All right, let me focus so we can move on because I do want to take some callers. Let's talk about this Gina and Emily in her new home scene because this was happening simultaneously as we're talking about Katie and Shannon. So Emily goes over to Gina's new home. Gina's back in her home. I told you that she basically confirmed that last season Travis moved out because of the drama with his ex-wife, not because they couldn't afford, you know, to move out together. So they end up moving in together. They're still doing real estate together. It's a big, beautiful home. She's just like, finally, I have something bigger. Fine. Space, square footage. Wonderful. Okay. So she admits to the real issues that they had last season in regards to the family drama with Travis. All right. So Emily comes over and she says that Jennifer confirmed to her that Katie is the one that gave the nanny the information of the blogger. So she confirms that Jen says that, yes, this is what Katie said that she did. Gina wants to meet up with Katie to iron out these issues. And at this particular point, she invites Emily to join her. But here's my thing. Gina wants to have this conversation with Katie. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't really have an issue with Katie. The issue is with Emily, but you have to make it your issue because you have nothing else going on. What is going to be Gina's storyline for the season? And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You don't have to have a storyline if you're an interesting person. But Gina is not an interesting person. And the whole Travis of it all, they can barely talk about it. So again, she's making this issue between Emily and Katie and Katie and some of the other people in the group her own issue. She's like, well, I brought her into the group, so I feel like I've been hurt by her too. What? And I don't like the fact that she didn't tell Katie that she was inviting Emily to this meetup. I didn't like that because, again, it feels like the bullying, because that's the thing that I haven't enjoyed in the season premiere. It does feel like everyone's against Katie, but that's Katie's fault. Katie, just stand on it. Be honest. Mia Moore says, I'm surprised Kemp is at work today. Me too, Mia Moore. Can I get credit? Literally just got back from Philly by train. Okay, look, by train. Woke up this morning, had a show last night in Philadelphia, and here I is today entertaining you guys for Real Housewives of Orange County. And yesterday, I dropped the Real Housewives of Miami recap because I recorded it the night before. You see? And you got a podcast version. Okay. Anyway. Allure says, you love us. Mm-mm. Look. Okay. All right, back to what I was saying. So Gina and Emily had that conversation. Again, Gina worked my nerves during it because I understand where Emily might have an issue with Katie. I get it. But Gina making it her issue, I was like, girl, really? Come on. All right. Then we get a scene with Shannon FaceTiming with her daughter in Amsterdam. So that's probably why we end up going to Amsterdam for their big trip. Isn't that the same? Well, not that wasn't the reason they went to London, but she met up with her daughters when they went to London. Okay, now we're going to Amsterdam this year. I want to go back to Amsterdam. It's been a while since I've been to Amsterdam. You know, that's one of my cities I like to go to. And not because I like to puff, puff, pass. I've never done that. Been there so many times, never done it. And could have easily done it. Okay? Anyway. Heather and Dr. Terry, so that you know their storyline, nothing else is going on. But you know they bought that home in Beverly Hills. They bought the home. They received one budget. The contractor came in and with over $8 million over budget. That's not a small penny.
But he had already started the project, meaning that he had already like tore up the house. When they flashed back to when they were walking through the house, it did not look the way that it looked now. The way that it looked now, it was just like, damn. So Heather wants to at least put down the floors. And I don't, look, I don't know real estate like that. I don't know if putting down the floors for $45,000 is worth it or just leaving it the way that it is. You know what I mean? I don't know. Real estate agents, weigh in. Is it worth putting down the floors? Especially if they're going to end up tearing it back up? Because everything's basically gutted since the construction. I wonder how much they ended up paying that contractor. That's the thing. It doesn't matter what you look like, how much money you have. Contractors are going to contract, meaning like they're going to be delayed. They're going to drag their feet. They're going to be sometimes unprofessional. Not sometimes, a lot of times. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, contractors are going to contract. So it was interesting to see these millionaires complain about an issue with a contractor, but $8 million over budget. But you know, I love real estate. So I really don't mind this being Heather's storyline. Some people want Heather to go to Beverly Hills. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, she probably fit in with those women. They need to. I'm surprised that they're moving forward with the cast that they're moving forward with when it comes to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because all of them are single, including Rachel Zoe. All of them are going through a divorce or have gone through a divorce. I see that Erica Jane has a new boyfriend that was an ex-military star who's a Donald Trump supporter. We're not surprised. A few of your favorite housewives are Donald Trump supporters. Just saying. Just so y'all know. So, I guess that will be her bow for the new season. No. This is exactly what went wrong with Roni. We had a bunch of single housewives and we're doing the same thing. No, y'all should have shook up this cast. And I'm sure Bozema is going to bring her hired help again this season. No. No. Don't care. Beatrice says that they need Jeff Lewis. You mean Heather? Maybe. I mean, there's so many people in that business that do that work. I'm sure they could get anyone. I think if she was to get Jeff Lewis, it would make it a spectacle as like a television show, as opposed to, no, this is actually my home. And I know Jeff does this for a living, like, and he does a good job, but then it's going to be about his personality versus getting the work done. Just saying. Foxy says, Erica sure knows, and she says, Erica knows how to pick them. Sure does. Let me say thank you. Thank you, Robert, for the super chat. Robert sent the super chat before the live started. So thank you, Robert. Robert says, pathetic Emily is going to lead the Katie takedown. I'm so excited for Gretchen. I mean, look, I wish I could defend Katie, but she's almost indefensible. I can't defend Katie because it's so obvious that she's lying. Oh, now I remember what I wanted to say earlier, which we're going to get to. But in that separate scene with Katie and Tamara, and Katie's like, oh, I have to, when I go home, I'm going to go through my DMs. Heffa, why can't you go through, look, why can't you go through your DMs now? Your phone is right here. Why do we have to wait for you to go home and check your DMs? And then at the end of the episode, they talk about it again. And she's like, SOS, I don't have any service. I wish they would have zoomed in on the phone so we could confirm. She's like, SOS, I don't have any service. You were supposed to go home and check your DM. I don't know why you had to go home to check your DMs. Your DMs are right here. You're going to go wait till you get on the computer to check your DMs? That's where I knew she was lying. And then how many days later, weeks later, they ask you about it? SOS. I'm going to use that. I'm using that. Oh, SOS. I can. I don't, you know, I don't have bad reception. You got T-Mobile? Like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? SOS, no service. That's where I was like, I can't defend Katie. I can't. JP says she probably put it in airplane mode. Well, no, it's different when you put it in airplane mode. I you know what I would have said to her? Because they were out in the forest. You know, with the new iPhones, even when it's in SOS, you can use satellites to send text messages. That's what I would have said to her. Girl, use the satellite. You can't use apps, though, I don't believe. I never had to do that, but just saying. All right, let me move on. So Heather and Dr. Terry have their issues with the house. They were going to do the renovation, but the renovation is going to take about 3 years to do it. Okay. And she was just like, you know, I forgot which kid was going to be coming out of high school. So they're going to be on the journey of finding a new home and selling this one. Fine. JP says, connect to Wi-Fi. Someone said that. And still, it was like, maybe there wasn't any Wi-Fi. Because even Shannon said, well, there's, you know, I don't have reception here. I was here for 8 days for $13,000 at the Golden Gate. The Golden Door? There, the Golden Door. Almost $13,000 for 8 days. She says she had to use the landline there. Okay. Very true. Maybe very true. But Katie could have looked that information up after the conversation, literally when she was with Tamara. But she's like, I'm going to have to go home and look that up. Look through my DMs. Katie, you're lying. You're a bad liar. Cece says, not T-Mobile catching a stray. You caught that? You caught that? Mm-hmm. All right, guys, if you haven't already, be sure to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting the channel. I saw the ratings for...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
For Housewives of Orange County, they already had, 700-something thousand views for their live watch? That's pretty damn good. What's going on with Real Housewives of Miami? I mean, if I had to compare, no, I feel like Miami is still really, really good. I don't know why people aren't watching. I can't explain it. It's not like it's not good. If it was a bad season, and then I would be able to, like, guys, it's a bad season, but no. I did see that X-Bac says, Bravo Babe, who's the blogger that Katie's talking about, because Katie denied that. She's like, she called me. Bravo Babe on social media posted receipts that show proof that Katie was contacting her on IG. Again, Katie is a liar. And honestly, I didn't even need the receipts because based off of other things, we've caught Katie lying. And even when she tries to explain herself, I'm like, girl, you are a bad liar. Stop lying. All right. This Emily and her son Luke story, oh, broke my heart. Because she talks about the twins being tiny for their age. She says that Luke has been a picky eater. And then she took him to a therapist, and the therapist diagnosed him with ARFID. And that basically is an eating disorder. We later find out that he also more than likely has autism, and that sometimes can go hand in hand with ARFID, which makes sense when you have a better understanding of what autism looks like, and autism doesn't look like Tamara. Only for us to come to find out Tamara doesn't have autism. She just jumped ahead because that's what she talked about on her first therapy session. Oh, my therapist says I have autism. Only for us to find out she doesn't have autism. She was never diagnosed with autism. She didn't go through the testing. So this scene with her son, as a kid that really didn't love to eat myself, and I'm not saying that I have autism. I'm just saying, I just remember as a kid, I didn't love to eat dinner. I would like, I'll have a bowl of cereal. Like I was like, I was a very picky eater. I'm still a somewhat of a picky eater now. But when she was, and mind you, there are days too that I still trying to figure out what I want to eat. And I'm like, I don't want that, but I don't want that. But what do you want? I don't know. I still sometimes have a little bit of that for myself. But as a kid that has autism that can't explain or articulate how they're thinking, how they're feeling, what he's smelling. Anyone else smell their food before they eat it? Like sometimes I'll do that before I eat it. So I really felt for Emily because she felt defenseless as a parent. She felt like she did something wrong, and she didn't. And only for her to find out later that her son has autism and has this eating disorder. And I saw some people in the comments section saying that she shouldn't share this information with the world. No, I'm glad she did. And we talked about this before.
I get it. I get why people might feel that she shouldn't share this information because he doesn't have the words or the opportunity to say, "Mom, don't share that with the world." But here's where I'm glad that Emily's sharing it with the world, because especially with autism is hard to diagnose. There are people that are just being diagnosed as adults, but they've been struggling or having the challenge for years and not knowing what it is. By her sharing about his eating disorder and his autism diagnosis, is going to help someone else if it hasn't already. So for me, I'm okay with her sharing what her family is struggling with, but it's going to help someone else. And that for me is going to be worth it, because someone's going to see that and they're going to be like, I think that's what John is going through, or I think that's what Katie is going through. Not this Katie. I'm just saying, and making up names. You get what I mean? So I feel like she's doing a benefit here, because it's so hard to figure out certain things when people are not feeling well. Because she says, to the point where Luke is, he doesn't want any food, but he's hungry and he can't articulate what he's going through. Again, now it makes complete sense to me later on in the episode when she says that he has autism, because when you think about autism and how picky they can be with certain things when it comes to touch, smell, things like that, it made complete sense. I was like, oh, I never thought about it when it comes to eating. So I'm glad she shared it. So for those of you that are saying she shouldn't be sharing this information, I understand where you're coming from, because it feels like he doesn't have any autonomy in regards to sharing this information with the world. But she's going to do a lot more good by telling people about this, because I'm sure there are parents out there that don't have the resources that she had, and they will now go to their doctor and say, do you think that my child might have this? And if they say no, based off of this, this, and this, then you can rule something out. Just saying, because it's also very expensive to test your children for, in adults, to test for autism as well. Not everyone has the access. So again, I feel like her sharing this with the world, and it wasn't easy for her to share this with the world, especially because she had her own guilt. And then when you go through Emily's history and her issues with her own family, you probably look at the situation a little bit differently. So that's how I feel on what she shared. It broke my heart to see that he's hungry, but he doesn't know what he wants. And I'm sharing you on a surface level as just someone that's not autistic. That for me sometimes is a struggle. So I can't imagine for a kid that can't articulate what he's feeling, but he's tired and he's hungry, but he doesn't know what he wants. And for a mother that wants to help her child, that she wants her child to have the best health and the most nutrition, and she can't give him that because she doesn't know what's going to help him. I felt for Emily in that. I felt so much for her in that. I say all that to say, Tamara goes to therapy. And I was so, because right after that scene, shout out to you editors for including that, because it kind of gave me a little bit of softness, but then the softness for Tamara went out the window very quickly, because Tamara's like, camera lights, action. She walks in there and she's like, and I was like, oh God, here goes Tamara. And here's the reason why Tamara loses credibility for me, because again, they talk about her going on her podcast and say, guys, I went to therapy for the first time, and I'm autistic. And then she was slammed by, you know, people that have autistic children. Everybody was coming for her, including myself, okay? But as soon as she walks into this therapy session, she's already starting to cry and she's getting emotional. And I'm just like, not a tear in sight, which is fine, okay? But this is Tamara. I don't know what to believe with Tamara. Like, I want to have a heart. I want to encourage people to go to therapy. But I hate when people like Tamara weaponize it. And I don't want to be mean about her going to therapy. If she really is going with an open heart and trying to change, I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it. And the fact that she wants to talk about, she finds it hard to open up to other people because she can't trust people. She feels like people are going to weaponize that against her. Projection. This is what she's done to other people. This is what she's done to her own friend, Shannon. And she was the most malicious. What Shannon was struggling with, well, I don't know if Shannon has ever said that she was an alcoholic, but her issues with alcohol, I'll say. Alexa says, did she self-diagnose? I mean, that's not impossible. You know, Amanda Seals is self-diagnosed too. But she said her therapist said it. That's the difference. Tamara said her therapist said it. Ashley says this is all for show. Mr. Mel and Max, she's not Kim. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting like, Tamara, I don't believe this. Because as soon as you walk into therapy, and I'm not saying that people, as soon as they walk into therapy, they're not already emotional. She says, since I've been going to therapy with you, I've been emotional all week. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe this, y'all. I don't know if I believe this. But I'm going to keep an open mind because for me, it's not about you telling me something. It's about your actions for the rest of the season. I saw on Watch What Happens Live, everyone was like, they don't believe that Tamara's changed. She's like, it's only one episode. I want to see how Tamara is for the rest of the season. As you know, she basically quit. She went on social media during the season as it was being filmed and quit. And I said, hold on a minute. She'll be back. And she was. She's back. Okay. That's why people can't with Tamara. Everything feels so rehearsed. Everything feels so fake. That's why as soon as she walks into therapy, she's getting emotional. She's crying and she's talking about it. She feels like she can't open up to people. People can't open up to you because they don't feel like you're a safe space. What you did to Shannon, and Shannon's not perfect by any means, but the way that you weaponized her issues with alcohol against her was gross. And you're supposed to be like a real friend. And I know we don't believe a lot of these housewives are real friends, but these women were real friends. Okay? And yes, they've had their issues and things like that. Fine. But I don't know. You guys will have to point out to me because you know I'm not a connoisseur of Orange County like that. If Shannon has ever done anything equally as bad to Tamara. Just saying. Let me move on because I talked a lot last night and I'm already feeling like, so let me take some water. All right. So she goes to therapy. Was there anything? Again, I went through everything that I wanted to talk about. Okay. So Jen and Ryan, as you know, are engaged. He wants her to do a wedding in her bikini. They got engaged. She was in her bikini. He wants her to do the same thing for the wedding. Fine. So she says she doesn't want to, they start talking about what's to come for their wedding. And she says she doesn't want to invite Tamara to the wedding. I mean, if it's going to be on the show, they're going to invite her to the wedding. If it's not going to be on the show, I would not be inviting Tamara. Honestly, I wouldn't be inviting Tamara regardless because this is supposed to be really my love of my life, show or no show. I'm not inviting Tamara. Tamara has done the most, again, we were just talking about Shannon. Jen was supposed to be her real friend on some level, even if they weren't tight friends. On some level, these guys knew each other. They worked out at Tamara's gym. They've hung out. There's history there, okay? So, and the way she treated Jen, I was like, I get why Jen is like, I'm never going to forgive her, okay? So Jen says she doesn't want to invite Tamara to the wedding. She said Tamara is careless with her words. And here's the thing. She says some of the things that she was saying about Ryan, you know, the legal stuff, the FBI and all that. She says she doesn't realize that could have hurt custody for me and my children. And she's right. But Tamara doesn't care. This is why it's hard for a lot of us to have a soft spot for Tamara or have an open mind when it comes to Tamara, because she has done some of the most horrendous things when it comes to people in the name of television. When it comes to people's actual real lives. We have to remember, Jen was in the middle of a custody battle and getting a divorce from her now ex-husband. And he was already not feeling her. Like, it was already contentious. Tamara, you know, he could have used that against her. Luckily, he didn't. But I get why she would be upset. Okay. Let me say thank you. Thank you, Keith, for the super chat and for being a member. Keith says, Katie can't even convince me that that's her real name at this point. I hope Emily isn't using her son as a passive-aggressive way of coming at Emily.
What do you mean? Like her son's diagnosis? I don't think so, guys. I don't want to even speculate on something like that. I don't think so. She literally has like a full-on diagnosis with the kid. So I'm just like, I don't think so. Anyway, let's move on. So she talks about those issues. And Ryan brings up a really good issue. All right. First of all, no. Jen brings up the fact that Tamara used to flirt with Ryan. And she's like, oh, I'm in Ryan's house and all this kind of stuff. Should I go upstairs? Jen dropped all this tea in the confessional during the scene. So she's like, maybe she's mad that she didn't end up with Ryan. I mean, I don't think Ryan and what's her husband's name? Who cares? Tamara's husband. I don't think they look the same, but they could. I mean, they're both like gym guys. So I could see where I could see that. You know what I mean? Eddie, thank you, Allure, on TikTok. I'm like, I could see where Tamara could have probably wanted to have something with him. So Jen dropped that tea, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, great. Then Ryan brings up, he said he doesn't believe Tamara is really going to therapy. He's like, the baptism a few years ago didn't help. Again, I feel like everything that Tamara does is performative. I don't believe Tamara at all. So they talk about that. And I was like, Ryan has a good point. He's not falling for Tamara and that she's changed and she's going to therapy. I think it's very convenient timing. That is her storyline. We've seen Tamara just last season be disgusting. For me, the only thing that will prove it to me is time. All right, moving on. What else happens? Guys, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the premiere episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County. I know a lot of you didn't know that I was going live today. So you're probably watching the replay of this. Don't forget to like the video. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications. And also, don't forget, we don't just talk about Real Housewives here on the channel. We talk about everything in pop culture, including the Diddy trial. We have multiple updates for those that wanted a full Diddy trial playlist. We have that available here on the channel. You can also hear that and so much more, including this Real Housewives of Orange County recap on the Kempire podcast. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And if you want an unfiltered version of these hot topics and our live show and be able to meet and greet with me, get your tickets today for the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour coming to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're coming to DC on August 22nd. Then we're back in New York City on September 12th. The New York City show has a live stream option, so go get your tickets today for that. More information on all of that will be available in the description. There is a separate link for the live stream for New York, so be sure to check that out. All right, and thank you to our King's Guards for holding us down. Guys, we're almost at 200 likes. So keep liking the video if you haven't already. All right, let's move on because there's so much more to unpack. Matter of fact, I'm going to drop the call-in link before I forget. I'm not going to take callers just yet, though. I'm just going to drop it for our members first. So members, I'll drop that for you. But again, I have a few more scenes to go through when it comes to Real Housewives of Orange County. Let me go here. And shout out to everyone that came to the Philly show last night. We had a fantastic time. We talked about so much. I could have talked a lot more. I need to figure out how we can get more time at these live shows because I feel like I need a good 3 hours. Right? Don't I feel like I need like a good 3 hours and then do Q&A? I had so much more that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk more about Real Housewives of Atlanta. I wanted to talk more about Miami. I mean, we talked about a lot. We covered a lot. We talked about Diddy. We even talked about the Epstein list. We talked about the election. We talked about the strike that happened, but it's ended. Shout out to Philly. The strike is over. Yay. We talked a lot. We talked about Nicki Minaj and what's been going on over there. Right, Philly? We covered a lot yesterday, okay? And I think I have some footage from it, so stay tuned. All right, moving on. Let me get back to Real Housewives of Orange County, the recap. Okay, so Emily, Tamara, and Heather meet up for dinner. And they talk about Heather's daughter being in Paris, fine. Heather brings back a gift for for Emily. And Emily jokes and says, oh, I'm surprised it didn't have the Heather Dubrow monogram on it. Just say thank you, Emily. Ungrateful. Okay. I love the fact, and maybe because I'm a Taurus, you know, we love a gift. Okay. So Tamara says that she's stressed. She arrives. She says she's like, I'm stressed. You know, I've been going through the process of therapy. Okay. So immediately she wants to jump in. Cause again, lights, camera, action for Tamara. We're filming. I got to talk about my storyline. I'm in therapy. I've been feeling very stressed. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of therapy. Okay. Fine. So then Tamara talks about a convo that she had with Katie. Because as you recall, there was a blogger saying that Tamara buys these trolls and things like that on social media. So Tamara threatened the bloggers with legal action. Okay. So the blogger, Katie apparently reached out to the blogger. However, the blogger said that Katie called her. And I saw that the blogger is the Bravo Babe on socials. And the Bravo Babe has posted receipts that you see it's Katie calling her. And then they play an audio message from the blogger. So what stood out to me in that scene between Katie and Tamara was the fact that Katie was like, I have to go home and go through my DMs. Your DMs are right here. Why do you got to go home to go check your DMs? I think that's important to note for all the Katie defenders. Okay. Why do you have to go home and check your DMs? I can go right now and check my DMs. Were you still on SOS? You can do a little quick search for your DMs. I'm already in my DMs. Do you want to do a quick search? But of course she didn't want to do it. And she still, later on in the episode, still could not provide the receipt. She's like, SOS, SOS. She was calling for help. That's what she was doing. She's like, I'm in SOS, SOS. Help me. Go to satellite. The iPhone has satellite now. You can get your messages that way. Hey, Jesse, watching from the Bahamas. I think that was important to note because it comes up again later on. All right. So then Tamara reveals that Jen said that Katie's stories don't add up and even referred to, well, no, it was Emily who said it, that the stories don't add up and said that Jen said this about Katie. Her stories don't add up and that she's a con artist. And they flash back to that scene between Jen and Gina. And Gina says that, oh yeah, and you called her a con artist. And she's like, I did? Do you believe that Jen doesn't remember calling Katie a con artist? I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know Jen. It doesn't seem like something that Jen would say about someone that she considers a friend. I feel like Jen would probably more so say, oh, some of the things that she says doesn't add up. That, because I just, again, I know that Jen is not completely 100% innocent. But I also don't view Jen as malicious. And I don't see Jen saying con artist. I could see Jen saying some of the things that she likes to sugarcoat a lot of stuff. So I could see her saying some of the things that she says doesn't add up. I can see Jen saying that. I can't see Jen saying about someone that she talks to on a regular, oh, she's a con artist. Aaron on TikTok says, yes, I believe that. Like, I don't know, but she didn't deny it. Jen's just like, did I say that? She's like, I don't remember saying that. But she still has not denied it. Even when they flash back to the scene when Katie brings it up later, they flash back to the scene when they talk about it in the car. And Katie makes it seem as if Jen completely denied it. But when we go back to that scene, Jen didn't deny it. She's like, I don't remember saying that. What I can appreciate, and this is why I like Jen and why I think Jen is actually authentic. Because Jen is like, I don't remember saying that. But she's not denying the fact that she didn't say it. This is why I have always liked Jen. Because even there's so many housewives that we think that we know them. And then there are times that were proven like, no. Jen, even in this premiere episode, admitted for you know, taking digs at Tamara on social media. She admitted it. I think if Katie did some of what Jen does, we could be like, okay, Katie, whoo, we can ride with you.
But she's always lying. Even in this moment, Janice is like, I don't remember saying that. Look, I don't remember saying that. I could have said that. But then the way Katie, who's a liar, spins it to the rest of the women. Here we go. Another lie from Katie. The way she spins it to the other women, Jen says she never said that. That's not what Jen said. I'm so glad that the production decided to go back and replay that. That's not what Jen said. See, Casey agrees with me. Casey says, I don't think Jen would use the term con artist. I think she may have said something that might have alluded to that, and they have changed it in and given it a word, con artist. But that's me. But Jen, again, is not saying, she's like, I don't remember saying that. Oh, okay. I can appreciate the honesty. I can. All right. So where do I want to go from here? All right. So Emily and Gina are in the car, and this is where Emily reveals to Gina what's going on with Luke, that he might have autism, and oftentimes autism can be tied with an eating disorder. She gets really emotional, and this is where Gina says she can relate, and she understands why her friend would blame herself, because when her daughter was having sensory issues, she blamed herself. I'm not a mom. I don't understand. I mean, I'm just going to say it because I don't have children, but I can have an open heart to understand why a mom, you know, you want to have a perfect child. And if your child is going through something, you blame yourself. So I really felt for Emily in this episode, which is why I think you guys need to give her some grace. Give her some grace right now, because especially when the main storyline is involving her boys and what's been happening between her and Katie. So it's not even just about Katie. It's about now my boys, who I'm already blaming myself for what Luke is going through. Now they've become a part of this negative storyline that they said or did something that's affecting my relationship with other people in the group. That's just kind of, I think it's important for us to put that all in perspective. And then she's also having this challenge on trying to figure out what's going on with her son. Right now, at this particular point, yes, she knows it's possibly autism, but he still has to go through tests to see where he's on the spectrum. But she also has to figure out, how am I going to make sure that he eats? They haven't figured that out. Yes, they figured what it is, but they haven't figured out a way to make sure that he's getting the nutrition that he needs. Not eating, anyone that's had an eating disorder before will tell you. I remember Tracy Gold from back in the day, like, we used to always talk about eating disorders because of her. Again, why it's important and brave of these people to share their stories. Because people like me learn from it. Like, I remember that from back in the day. Y'all remember Tracy Gold from Growing Pains? And didn't she have like a Lifetime movie too about it? When you're not eating, you're not getting the nutrition. And I can understand why she's worried. Because he's not feeling well. He has low energy. He's a little boy. He's 9 years old. So think about that is on her mind while dealing with Katie talking to bloggers. Just saying. All right. Have a little compassion for the mother, okay? All right. So she shares that with Emily. I mean, she shares that with Gina. So Gina, Emily, and Katie end up meeting up. I didn't like the fact, and this is on Gina, I didn't like the fact that she didn't tell Katie that Emily was going to be there. I didn't like that. Katie was like, what the F? Anyway, so Gina says she never told Katie that Emily was coming. Gina says that Jen also questioned Katie's motives and called her a con artist. So this was the first time that Katie heard that Jen may have called her a con artist. And she's like, I don't believe that. I talk to Jen like 10 times a day. Again, I don't believe that was the word or words that Jen used about Katie. I don't believe that what she used. She probably said something else, and someone else is putting a different label on it, making it more harsh. So Katie says that she was pissed. So that's why she spoke to Emily's ex-nanny. She was pissed at what happened at the reunion. It is important to know, 5 months before this scene, remember that conversation that Emily and Katie had? They said they were not going to involve the children anymore. And then Emily brought up at the reunion the custody situation. And I think I said this during the reunion recap for RHOC.
I didn't like them bringing that issue up, because again, it's talking about the mother, you know, her mothering and that kind of thing. And she's right. She probably was not in the best place to be a mom, and that's why she gave up custody. And yes, give up custody if you can't provide the home that you would like for your children to have. So Katie says she didn't like that Emily did that. But we can't forget, Katie, you were the first one to do it. You were the first one to involve the children. I don't think just because Emily did that, if anything, call her out this season for doing that. You don't do that by now involving bloggers and coming for her again. No, your first scene, you know what? I have an issue with you. We agreed that we weren't going to do that, and you still went for me during the reunion. Then I think you and Emily could have moved forward, and maybe an episode or two. I understand why Emily is like, I can't trust you. I can't trust you. You went, instead of coming to me, the nanny comes to you. And she even said this in her confessions. Like, I understand you can't control the nanny coming to you. But then you direct the nanny to go to bloggers, your friends. I'm going to put quotes, your friends, so that she can tell her story. That was messy. And I know a lot of people would be like, well, that's what Housewives is. That's what's ruining Housewives. A lot of people, even when we were talking about this, when it was it Real Housewives of Atlanta? I don't remember which one it was. No, it was Miami we were talking about. And I told you guys, stop normalizing that weirdo behavior, hiring private investigators to go investigate people. That's weirdo behavior. That's not normal. Are you doing that in your real life? Are you hiring investigators to go investigate your friends? Maybe your ex or your boos. Understandably, if he's cheating. Just saying. But let's stop normalizing that type of behavior. Let's stop involving the bloggers in these storylines. Anyway. So they talk about that issue. And it gets really heated between Emily and Katie. And they're talking over each other about this issue. Okay. But at the end of their conversation, Emily and Katie both apologize to each other. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe we can move forward. This is all in the premiere episode. But as Katie's leaving, she hugs Gina and she tries to go to hug Emily. And she's like, I'm not there yet. I don't blame her. I'm the same way. Just because we just made amends, I'm not going to do the fake hug. If anything, great to see you. Have a great day. Brenda says, not just bloggers, but loyal fans too. But you know, some of these loyal fans think they're bloggers. So anyway, but I agree. People that aren't not in your natural lives, why are you involving them? Why are you involving them? Look, I think Gina and Emily do some of these things because they think we're entertained by it. But them putting the food in their dirty pockets. Ew. Do y'all see what Emily did that? She's taking the donuts and putting it in her pocket, her dirty pockets, so she can eat it later. Ew, that's gross. Come on now. I'm definitely becoming a germaphobe. Or I'm just not gross like some of y'all. Ew, putting that in your pocket and you're going to eat it later? Look, I'm a foodie too, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go inside. Can y'all wrap this up for me? Put it in my damn coat. Alexa says Emily had a winter coat on in Orange County. It never gets that cold. I don't know. I'm not from Orange County. What I do know is these Orange County ladies cannot dress for it. Crap. Okay. I was looking at them in the car and I was like, these women are so frumpy. Not our girl, Jen. Jen is not frumpy, but she definitely looks like a girl from Orange County. But for most of them, they are so frumpy. Tamara has good style. Heather has good style, but Gina and Emily, Katie too. Katie's cute, but terrible, right? Justice couldn't even get a napkin. Like, get a napkin. Come on. Pageant Mommy said they don't shower every day. Pageant Mommy says they are lowbrow. Thank you, Missy. Missy, it's not a germaphobe thing. That was gross. Okay. I'm just trying to, look, downplay my grossness from it. I'm just like, ooh. Pageant Mommy says Jen wears bikinis everywhere. Well, no, you know what? I'm talking more so about Jen's confessionals. Her confessionals have been looking gorgeous since last season. I don't know where she's getting the money from, but it's okay. Guys, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the latest episode, the premiere episode, season 19 premiere episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County. Thank you to everyone watching on TikTok. Thank you, City Mouse, for the gift. Thank you, Phoebe Bear Bear, for the gifts as well. Keep tapping your screens, TikTok. Let's get to 10,000 likes. We are live on YouTube. Shout out to our YouTube fam. YouTube fam, can we get to 300 likes? Shout out to our folks that are watching on Facebook and those of you watching on Twitch and Twitter as well. Let's talk about this Golden Door situation. Hold on. And if you're a member, I have dropped the call link for you guys behind the scenes. I'll be getting to callers after this live chat. Once we get to 300 likes, okay, once we get to 250 likes, I'll drop the call link for the general audience and then I'm getting out of here. I'm literally just got back maybe like 2 hours ago from, well, yeah, 3 hours ago almost. No, less than 3 hours ago from Philly. I had my live show last night in Philly. All right, moving on. So this Golden Door event. So the Golden Door, apparently a lot of people go there. A lot of famous people go there. Oprah goes there. Apparently it costs like almost $13,000 for 8 days there. Apparently, Shannon goes there all the time. Must be nice, Shannon. All right. So Shannon and Tamara are still not in a good place. We haven't talked about that. Even though they hugged at the reunion, they're still... I mean, I don't blame Shannon for not being in a better place with Tamara. Like, how do you get back from some of the issues that they had and some of the things that she said? Tamara was gross to Shannon. I can understand Shannon not being so forgiving. Like, we could be good because we have to film a show, but... we're not that good. The Tres Amigas are over. Literally, they are over. Okay? So then, this was all around the time when Teddy went on social media and revealed that she had multiple tumors in her brain and she was in the ICU. So they were literally in the middle of filming and Tamara comes in. I believe Tamara was concerned. I want to just say that. I think it's just hard for us to take Tamara seriously and have real empathy for her because she never has empathy for anyone else. So she comes in and updates everyone on that. And that's when Shannon says, okay, I'm not going to have a conversation with her about our friendship when she's going through what she's going through. Okay. So she gives an update on what's going on with Teddy. Emily, because they end up talking about Katie before Katie's there. And they're like, y'all see that she's talking to bloggers and blah, blah, blah. Emily says that she's keeping a list of all of Katie's lies. And I wish I had all the lies here because they showed her list in her notes app. She had like 13 different Katie lies listed. I was like, and then I literally, as I'm watching, I'm reading them. I was like, oh yeah, she did lie about that. Oh yeah, oh yeah. So there are quite a few lies from Katie. And Katie has not convinced me otherwise in regards to why she's lying the way she's lying. Fee Bear says that she has a lot of time on her hands. I mean, that is a lot to be writing down all the lies someone has said, but there are quite a few lies. Okay. Let me move on. So she has a list. So Tamara and Jen are still having their issues, okay? And again, as I said to you before, Jen admitted to taking digs at Tamara on social media. I don't blame her. I don't blame her. I'm not mad at her for doing it. Okay. So Jen admits to taking jabs at Tamara on social media. Tamara says that she's now scared to say anything because of Ryan's cease and desist. You remember? Because she says something on Watch What Happens Live, and then he sent her a cease and desist. But now she's making jokes about it. Like when she was on Watch What Happens Live, she's now making jokes about it. Like, oh, let me not say anything. He might send me, you know, he might sue me. You really should tread lightly. Because I want him to sue you. Because you do say damaging things about a lot of people. You need someone that's going to check you. All right. Heather, because they all sit down. Okay, sidebar. They go to this, they separate in groups. One's doing Tai Chi. The other group is doing the drums and things like that. Really cool. Shannon was having a good time with those drums. There's a guy, and I've seen that. This is not just a guy, because I've seen this quite a few times at different parks here in New York City, where you see, like, this Asian man doing, like, the little slow Tai Chi moves. There's got to be something to it, because it looks, first of all, it looks very peaceful to watch. But I'm seeing the women doing it. I was like, oh, I should do something like that. Just to learn. Like, I'm into all that stuff. When I went to Japan, I did a Zen breathing event, exercise conference, something. And I was like, oh, I'm into trying new things. So part of me wants to do the Tai Chi stuff. All right. So they separate and they do that stuff. All right. Gina says that she wants to know, because Katie talks about doing a hot pot event, because she wants people to get to know her. She says, you know, it's very common in Asian culture to do this. And Gina's like, I want to know less about Katie. Making this about her, this is not about you, Gina. You don't have a real issue with Katie. She's like, I really want to know less about Katie. All right. She says, after Katie invited them to the hot pot ceremony, she wants to know less. So Heather says that they got to stop talking to the bloggers. And the way that was edited, I thought she was talking to Jen and she wasn't talking to Katie. Because remember, Jen also did an interview with some bloggers that was causing issues within the group. Okay. So Heather says that. Katie says that Jen denied calling her a con artist. And they flash back to the scene. Jen didn't exactly deny it. Jen basically says, I don't remember saying that. So she didn't really deny it. Jen never said, I absolutely never said that. Especially when they flash back and they show us. Jen says that the things that Katie says doesn't add up, but they're not catastrophic. So for Jen, in her head, she's like, yeah, a lot of stuff that Katie says doesn't necessarily, it doesn't seem like the truth, but they're not things that are going to, this is what you guys have said about Drew Sidora for Real Housewives of Atlanta. Y'all say, yes, Drew lies or has an interesting relationship with the truth, but the things that Drew lies about aren't catastrophic. They're not like Mia lies. So this is what Jen is saying about Katie. And maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. They're not catastrophic. But again, based on what we've seen of Jen, some of her behavior is concerning. Like, I wouldn't want to be close with her. I wouldn't tell her anything. I wouldn't trust her. So Katie says she doesn't see that these people as... Oh, this is what Jen said about Katie. She doesn't see these people as bloggers. This is why she says that the way that Katie rationalizes in her head, she doesn't view these people as bloggers. She sees them as her friends. But then you see in that scene with Katie and Jen... Jen's is like, so how do you know these people? Mutual friends. She was giving us Phaedra by looking up in the air. Mutual friends? What mutual friends? Lies. Lies. Lying. Lying. Mutual friends? Okay. I wonder, Bravo Babe, I know you follow me. You guys have mutual friends? You and Katie? You got mutual friends? I need to know who are these mutual friends? But maybe she's talking about the other blog. Okay. So, Emily, of course, Emily gets activated. She says that she has to hire an attorney. Because she wants to emphasize to Jen, like, no, like, this is serious. I've had to hire an attorney to sue the ex-nanny. There were some people not understanding, because you remember Emily is an attorney. So some people were not understanding why she would hire an attorney when she's an attorney. Most times attorneys hire other attorneys, especially if that's not their specialty. Most attorneys will hire another attorney to represent them in something, unless they can't afford it. And even then, some people that aren't attorneys, you saw Bob Whitfield represented himself. But if you can afford it, you don't do that. So she says that she's had to hire an attorney to sue the ex-nannies. And she's like, how do you expect me to sit here and try and get to know Katie when I feel like she's the central focus why I have to do what I'm doing right now? And it's causing me the stress. And I have so many other things going on in my life. Okay. She then says she can't feel close to Katie because of that. Katie says she denies calling the blogger. She says bloggers, she says in her confession, this is what Katie says. She says bloggers lie about a lot. They want clickbait. They make money off of doing this. So she's distancing herself. Okay. Katie says that she told Tamara that she has to look up the information, but she hasn't looked yet in regard, because then they start talking about Tamara and the issue she's been having with one of the blogs. Okay. So Katie says, oh, I told Tamara I have to look that information up, but she still has not looked it up. I wonder how much time passed between the Golden Door event and the dinner she had with Tamara. Because, girl, you said you had to go home, I guess, to sit in the comfort of your own home and go through your DMs. I don't know. Maybe she wanted to go on her laptop and look through her DMs. I find it harder to look through DMs on the laptop versus your phone. Just asking. Thank you, Mina, for the finger heart. She says, I still haven't had a chance. So everyone's just like, well, look now. They all make jokes. Tamara's like, well, I would be up in the tree trying to get reception at this particular point. Because she says, SOS, I have no reception. And then Shannon defends her. She's like, yeah, I mean, when I stayed there, I had to use the landline. So that's how the premiere episode of Real Housewives of Orange County ends, and then they show what's to come. And it seems as if this is just the beginning of the Katie takedown. But here's the thing. Excuse me. Katie's takedown is her own fault. And I get it. I don't like to see a gang up, but Katie is not helping herself. Katie, I'm seeing her lie at every turn, which makes me wonder, because when you lie about these small, not catastrophic things, makes me wonder what else you're lying about. Makes me wonder. And you know how I am. In a new season, I was ready to come with open arms embracing Katie. I like Katie and Jen's friendship. What I don't like is like, oh my gosh, girl, you keep lying. Why do you keep lying? I see a lot of people are excited. Viva says, I'm excited for Gretchen. She's back. I see a lot of people. Real Housewives of Orange County is not one of the cities that I've watched chapter and verse. I'm somewhat familiar with some of them, but it will be interesting. I see a lot of people are excited about Gretchen returning. I know Gretchen and Tamara do not get along, so that will be interesting. Sailor Moon says, if only the drama is about Katie and the bloggers, this season is going to be boring. We shall see. We shall see. And maybe this is where Gretchen comes in. Hopefully the blogger part of it all ends quickly. But we shall see. I did. Jess says, did you catch Gina's comments about Shannon and her crystals? Yeah, she's like, she'll do anything with these crystals, but they don't seem to work. Yeah. All right, guys, if you haven't already, be sure to like the video. I see that we got to 270 likes. I'm going to drop the call link for our general audience. But if you're a member of the channel, I've already dropped the call link on the post tab. Keep liking the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels as well. We're talking about the premiere episode, season 19 of The Real Housewives of Orange County. Don't forget, you can hear an audio version of our live recaps on the Kempire podcast. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. We did drop this week a special Hot Topics episode, giving you an update on a lot of other things. And I probably will add some stuff to the RHOC recap in regards to other Housewives information that I want to talk about. So stay tuned for that. All right, let's get to some quick callers, and then I'm going to get out of here because I'm already feeling it in my throat. Last night, I was talking up a storm. I was screaming. I was singing Mary J. Blige, not gonna cry. Oh, yeah, we talked about Tamar. We talked about a bunch of stuff last night. Right, Philly? We had a good time, Philly. Thank you to everyone that came out. Thank you again to Alexander Rogers for opening up the show for us. Thank you to everyone that helped us over there at City Winery Philadelphia. I like the little city center down. And there was no garbage. There was no garbage, y'all. I didn't see any garbage. All right, the strike was over anyway by the time I got there. The strike was over on Wednesday. Okay. All right. Hey, Brenda says, I'll give you all the tea, Camp. OC is one of my faves as an LA girl. Thank you, Brenda. We appreciate it. A lot of you do keep me abreast of everything that's happened over the years when it comes to Orange County. I will, because especially when it comes to Gretchen and what's going on with Gretchen. Casey says, I don't like Gretchen, but I'm excited for Gretchen to come back because I know Tamara hates her. I can't wait for Gretchen to go after Tamara. Why don't you like Casey? Why don't you like Gretchen? I want to know. All right. Hey, everyone watching on TikTok. I appreciate you guys being here as well. Let's get to some quick callers, guys. And then I'm going to go just because I need to rest my voice for the rest of the day. Yes, Pageant Mommy. I have this little thing that I got from TikTok. It's probably my TikTok shop as well. It's, a lot of singers use it. It coats the throat. It might have some honey in it as well, but it's very similar to the consistency is very similar to honey as well. All right. Let me bring up Cynthia first. Again, keep in mind the opinions of the callers do not represent the opinions of myself, the Kempire LLC, or our sponsors, and everything that they say is alleged. All right, let's bring up Cynthia. Cynthia, what did you want to share about Real Housewives of Orange County?
Hi, Kempire. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine. Last night's episode was great. I loved it. I'll give it a 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're an easy sell, though, Cynthia.
Oh, yeah. My, yeah. Anything but anything is better than Atlanta at this point.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't like this Katie takedown. I think Emily is doing too much. Okay. But you know what? Katie brought it upon herself, though. She did bring it upon herself.
Yeah.
I really hope that Jen didn't call her a con artist.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't see her saying that, but I love Jen. I love their friendship.
Yeah.
And Shannon looks more, less sober.
Huh?
In this episode. I mean, she looks better.
Wait, because you said less sober, or you mean she looks sober?
She looks sober.
Oh.
I guess you're right. Yeah, she looks sober.
I was like, what do you say? She looks drunk?
Shannon was a mess for the last couple of years. She was a mess, but she looks better this episode. But and Tamara, she's faking. I'm gonna buy what Tamara's selling.
Okay. Thanks, Cynthia. Tamara,
thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Miss Bernice is backstage. We're gonna bring Miss Bernice up. Miss Bernice, what did you think about the premiere episode of Real Housewives of Orange County?
Hey, what up, though? I liked it. There's no help for me. Little Satan, so I'm not even going to talk about her.
Who's Little Satan?
Tamara.
Oh.
Beelzebub can stay over there. Okay.
Okay.
But Pinky and the Brain.
Oh.
Emily and Gina.
Mm-hmm.
The Brain, which is Emily. She's going to get grace from me for this because of for her son, so I'm really not going to light into her. But Pink, Gina, you're doing the same thing you did last season. You put yourself in the middle of Katie and Heather. Now you're putting yourself in the middle of Whitney and Katie. Yep. You ain't got nothing to do with this. Just step back and just let it work out.
Yeah.
I still love Jen. She my girl. Love her. Pinocchio Katie. She gonna be lying. And she always gonna be lying. And then it's everybody's fault. And she got caught in a lie.
Yeah.
I wish a whale to come up and just swallow her and just go away.
Oh. Okay.
But other than that, I only went a second over my thing. Like, okay, I'm doing good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Miss Bernice.
Okay. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. She called her Little Satan. I really had to, for a second thing, I was like, wait, who's Little Satan? But no, you're right. Because remember she got that little treatment on her face last year? Definitely giving Satan. All right. Taurus Sun is backstage. Taurus Sun, what did you want to share? Tourist, we can't hear you. You're muted.
Oh, hey, Kempire. How are you doing today?
How are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to say that the show was okay. I'm going to give Emily some grace because I am a mom of twins and one of my sons has autism.
Oh.
He's high functioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much a lot of times with kids with autism. It is a taste. It's a texture thing with some of them as well. With him, it's a texture and sound. He doesn't like a lot of loud sounds.
Mm.
So I feel for her. She has a journey ahead of her because it doesn't stop when they become when they get a little bit older. My son is now 18. Mm. So I have to be a mother of an autistic adult. Mm. So I'm going to give her grace. I really, you know, I just wanted to just say that it's not an easy task, but I am grateful. Mm. And to your audience, the children that are autism, they just learn in a different way.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful human beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel for her on that. And I just wanted to say that. I know my time is up, but thank you, Kempire, for letting me say that.
Was there anything else that you wanted to say? You can go ahead.
No, I just, Tamra hasn't changed since Naked Wasted. I don't appreciate the way she treated people. Okay, if you watch the earlier episodes when Gina and her other friend on there, they tried to get, I'm not Gina, but Gretchen was on there. Mm-hmm. They tried to get her and, remember that?
I heard about that. No, y'all been giving me the cliff notes, but I heard about that. And I was like, that is gross.
Yeah, they tried to get her, like, naked waisted to embarrass her. And ever since then, I have not been her fan at all. I'm sorry. She hasn't changed. I don't appreciate her saying that she has autism when there are adults that do have autism. And she's on here on the show. But I also want to say congratulations on your show. I wish you came to Florida. If you did, I would come visit you and see your show. But thank you, Kempire, for just letting me say what I need to say.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and also all those other autistic parents out there and friends and family members. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Just remember that. But thank you. You guys have a good weekend. Love you, Kempire.
Take care. Bye. I'm glad she shared that because there are a lot of people that have children. You know, Tisha Campbell and her son, she shares a lot of the comedy with him and just things that he's doing on their social. Like one of my favorite things that I see her post on social media is her interacting with her older son now. I forgot how old he is now, but he has autism. I believe, I'm pretty sure he does. And I love seeing that. I'm so glad that Tora-san shared that as well. And again, because we were looking at what Emily's going through, she's at the very beginning of all this. He's 9 years old. So that's why I feel like we need to give her some grace that she's dealing with this, figuring this out. Now she has to figure out services for him and more importantly, how to get him to eat and make sure that he's getting nutrition. So I'm giving her grace, okay? Okay, I do want to say thank you guys so much for being here. We're almost at 300 likes. Thank you to everyone that called in. We appreciate you guys. Replay crew, be sure to let us know how you would rate this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County. Don't forget to like the video. And don't forget, guys, I will be doing a special bonus episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County along with this one on the podcast because I have some more things that I want to share that I'll be adding to the podcast version. So be sure to subscribe and follow me there. Thank you to our King's Guards. Thank you to our channel members. And of course, thank you to our subscribers and those of you watching in the bushes that have already liked the video. If you haven't already, be sure to do so as well. Yes, Bring Joy, Holly Robinson, Pete, Sun as well. There's quite a few of our public figures that share a lot on social media when it comes to their son. And Holly's very active in the world of autism. Okay. Thank you all for being here. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Friday. I will see you all in the next one. Bye, y'all.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.